Stevie with the good hair, back on Bad Signal Podcast. Welcome back. It is the Sweet 16 of March Madness. If you missed our last show, unfortunately, it is being held captive in the worlds of Twitter. So, yes, we have done a show in the last 2 weeks. I promise you that. Courtney Fallon here as your host, as always. Steve Armato here to chop it up on some NFL on a Townie Tuesday. Usually we call this Townie Tuesdays. In Townie from Boston and the Townie from Staten Island, New Jersey.
Staten Island, Hoboken, all of it. I'm glad to be back, though, honestly. It's been a long 2 weeks since the live show. And I'm getting crushed in the Better Edge Picks competition. I don't know how you're doing there.
Well, that one is done. So now we have a brand new competition that we need to welcome all of the good people. What is your code, Steve? Because Steve has a new code now.
It's Armato, A-R-M-A-T-O.
A-R-M-A-T-O. Armato. If you sign up for Better Edge, you get $20. If you like me better, you can sign up for Better Edge. And it's Courtney, and you get $20.
Well, I don't know if you get $20 with my code now. So Better Edge, love you guys, by the way. I just want to preface this by saying that. But you guys tweeted at me saying my code is now $20. I was psyched. I was pumping it out. My brother-in-law signed up, and then I looked, and I realized you give everybody $20 because it was March Madness. So fraudulent there. I'm not going to complain, but I'm just saying.
What did you say? They're like Bernie Sanders giving
everybody. Yeah, like Bernie Sanders is giving everybody free money here. Like, what's going on, guys? It's fine. Love you.
It's fine. For the first round of March Madness, we are now doing a giveaway. Whoever wins gets a solid $500 cash. And you know that if you're on our betting platform, that money is instant. That money is an instant withdrawal. That money is an instant deposit. It is a great system that they have set up on Better Edge. So if you are serious about signing up and beating me in the Sweet 16, I might throw some of my own money on there. Juice up the odds. It is a free competition to enter. Whoever wins gets the money. So sign up betteredge.com. Use whoever's code that you want, and we will get started on the show. Steve, you made a little futures bet, I heard.
I did make a futures bet.
Oh, what do you got? What you got?
I got plus 850, the Houston Cougars to win the national title.
Wow. So you are already jumping in full-fledged on the futures to win it all. So a lot of people, I mean, you know, we're just in the Sweet 16 here, not an Elite Eight. Are those odds for the Final Four, is that not enticing enough? There's not enough value anymore?
So I was doing some research. Okay. And by research, I mean, you know, I was on TikTok. And I came across a video where in the KenPom era, every national champion has won their first two tournament games by double digits. And there's only one team that fits that mold this year, and it's Houston. I think Houston also slightly underseeded. Like, they were in the top 10 all year, and they had a couple injuries, and guys got hurt. They lost two games, and it was like, oh, they're done. And then they just came back and smacked everybody in the AAC tournament. And they ended up with a 5 seed. Yeah, I think also the line is telling me they're going to beat Arizona.
I'm looking at this line. It's Arizona is only favored by 1.5. And that, to be the runaway number one seed for that long in the tournament, Arizona, they don't have success inside. They couldn't box out of the TCU game. It's about defense and it's about coaching. And I could not agree more. I think I'm not laying down any futures bets. Everyone knows that my Texas Tech to the Final Four bet, that is locked in and that's solid. That's the only future that I got right now. But I do have Houston to beat Arizona.
I love Texas Tech going to the Final Four also. Texas Tech. So here's the thing. Texas Tech and Houston are very similar. They're probably not going to run up the score on you.
Yeah.
But you're going to get in a half court game with them. They're long. They play great defense. They rebound. They're going to frustrate the hell out of you. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to beat you close at the end. That's what's going to happen. I love Texas Tech to the Final Four. I love that bet. But Mark, I love Houston Adams winning it more.
Yeah, Mark Adams and what he's done with our Texas Tech Red Raiders team has been incredible. And you really just can't out-talent that defense. You know, no. You're going to skew towards defense and exactly what you said, like, you know, extending the court lengthwise. And Mark Adams right now, especially in that matchup with Duke, I think he's better than Coach K. You know, as a Maryland graduate, how much I just want Coach K to have his, what he got his 12, he got his 1200th win. Go down valiantly. See you later. You know, no more of these like bullshit speeches. No more of these paid sponsorships with AT&T. I love the PFC commentator. He said, he goes, be careful. Coach K has a partnership with AT&T. So they delete all of the illegal booster money that he sent to recruits over the years.
It's so true though. It's ridiculous. Like before the first round game, I think it was before the first round game. It definitely wasn't before the Michigan State game. I don't know who was playing before, but they're cutting away. The game is like a 2-point game. They're cutting away from the game to go to Coach K and his wife, like entering the arena and like walking in. I'm like, it's a 2-point game. Why are we cutting away? And then they don't even try to attempt a replay on like an out of bounds, like close call, like maybe off. You can't really tell whose fingers it's off. If it's under 2 minutes, they don't even care. They cut away from that. Just go right back to Coach K. Coach K's telling the cameras to like get out from like him and his wife. I'm like, what, enough of this guy. Just lose and go home. Thank you.
Exactly. He's ruining March Madness. Right. He's ruining it. Well, yeah. at least you know what I mean? At least we don't have Sister Jean to bet on as well.
Yeah.
Sister Jean. Is Sister Jean pushing like 105?
I think she's 103.
No, she's
up there.
She's not looking too good. Like,
no,
I'm not trying to hate on old people here. Did you see the picture of Sister Jean? It was like,
I did.
She looks a little more raggedy these days.
No, she's not. You know, she's getting by. That's what we'll call that.
Sister Jean's just pushing by.
She's just getting by, man. That's it.
So. Listen, I also got Michigan moving to the Elite Eight. For every year that Juwan Howard has coached this Michigan team, he's at least reached the Elite Eight. I think that they're hitting their stride at the perfect time. And you can't bet against Michigan as a dog, especially at this size. -5. I got to take the other side of this. I got to jump on Michigan's wagon at +5.
I want to agree with you because they piss me off so much when I watch them play. But you know who else pisses me off when I watch them play? Villanova pisses me off.
They killed Ohio State's defense, though.
Killed them.
They killed them. I mean, you know, it's about size, it's switchability, but at the same time, man, I don't know. You got to go with the same thing, defense and the head coach. And a lot of people are just trying to give who was the assistant coach at Michigan that they're like, oh, I'll give all the credit to the assistant coach who's been there for a while. Juwan Howard. He's won a couple championships here with the Miami Heat. So like I wouldn't bet against him right now.
I wouldn't bet against him, but Jay Wright on the other side, I don't know what he does. The thing about Villanova is I feel like even though they're a 2-seed, I forget about them every single year because everyone's like, oh, the Big East isn't that good. And then like Creighton comes out and gives Kansas a scare.
Yeah.
And then Providence beat like a 12 seed. They killed Richmond, but everybody picked Providence to lose in the first one in the first game against South Dakota State. Yeah. Providence is in Sweet 16. And then now like Villanova, people were like, oh, they're going to play Loyola Chicago in the second round and they're going to lose to Sister Jean and company. And now they're just dismantling. Ohio State made it close late, but like, I don't know. I feel like the line is actually more Villanova. But the way Michigan's been playing in the tournament, I don't know if I could really go against
them. Yeah, they're going to keep it close at the very end, at least. Here's a really funny thing that I brought up. You talk about Arkansas and Gonzaga. I can get your thoughts on that. But someone was talking about Chet Holmgren, that if Zion Williamson stays in New Orleans and he goes with Chet Holmgren, they could like cancel each other out with all of their negativity, like all of the light will be off of Zion and he can just play his game. And they were saying something about Chet Holmgren, who's, by the way, like 6'3". And I think it says he's 180 pounds.
Yeah, he's.
And they said like, they're like, oh, like what's good? And all the comments were like, how the hell is Chet Holmgren 7'2" and he can't rebound? It's like, I mean, he's going to have a big problem in the NBA. He should probably stay in college basketball for as long as humanly possible. Could you imagine him trying to box out a guy like Giannis? Or
he needs to eat like 10,000 calories a day for the next 2 years. Like, he's what? He's 7'2", right?
He's 7'2".
He's 7'2", 180.
He's scared. Like, the kid, he really looks way. He's one of those, like, kids in the movie. Have you ever, did you see the Power of the Dog?
No.
The movie for, I mean, it's very creepy. It's a sketchy movie. This is the one that's Oscar nominated. Okay. But one of the characters in it is like, he is so rail thin. The son of Renee Zellweger is so rail thin. It's like scary. That's like what Holmgren looks like to me. I can't watch him without getting scared.
He looks like he's going to break every time he's on the court. I mean, yeah. I didn't even realize, like, I knew about him, like, but I saw him. I knew about him, but I wasn't really, I'm not staying. A Gonzaga game started at like 11:15 on a weekend. Yeah. Like, I'm not staying up to watch Gonzaga play. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I saw a clip of him go, like, he took one end to end. He grabbed the rebound, took it end to end and dunked it. And I was like, that's the jack-o'-lantern guy, Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, that's what he looks like on a basketball court.
He really does.
It's ridiculous. Oh, but I don't know. I can't imagine that guy in the NBA. Like, who's he going to body? Like, imagine Giannis posting up on him. Like,
no, no, he would break him.
Yeah.
He'd break him like LeBron broke Kevin Love last night.
Oh, my God. Nurkic. Imagine down low.
Oh, like, no. Any of the Serbians. And I have a thought that I want to interject here before we jump into the Friday slate. Bad Signal Podcast, Courtney Fallon, Steve Armato. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Pacer fans are absolute trash. They are just, I don't know what it is about Indiana fans. This is disturbing to me. So there was a post where some guy was recording this kid going after Jusuf Nurkić, who is, I mean, the Serbian players are like scary. Like, they bring knives to the bar. Yeah. Like, you don't fuck with the Jokić brothers. You don't fuck with Jusuf Nurkić. Even Luka Doncic. Like, Luka has the most technical fouls in the NBA because he just, like, he can't keep his mouth shut. So some kid was barking at Nurkić, and Nurkić walks over to him. I mean, he's like half his height. And he walks over to him, stares him in the face about 2 feet away, grabs his phone, throws it into the stands, and then walks away. Gets fined, obviously. Apparently, this kid told him, he said, "Your mom is trash and your grandma's a bitch." And his grandma died from COVID in Serbia in 2020.
People are terrible.
No, but this is a kid that is privileged, has a courtside fucking seat. And the same thing happened. And this is why I'm saying this, is that Indiana Pacer fans, like, they should just, I don't know what it is in the blood up there, but there was a kid earlier in the year, and everyone remembers this scene that LeBron took the security guard and, like, picked them up and was like, "Get these asshole kids out of here." And the girl was, like, walking off and was like, and made some really obnoxious, just like really cringe motions with her eyes, like a crybaby. Well, apparently they were screaming at LeBron the entire game and telling him that they hoped his 19-year-old son, Bronny, died in a car accident. Who says that?
Who does that? Like,
you know what? And I don't, like, honestly, like fuck all these kids that even think that that is okay. All right. And everyone that thinks, like, oh, it's not okay for, first of all, you pay to attend a game. You don't heckle people. This happened at Indian Wells the other day, where some kid was heckling a tennis player. And the guy was like, "Do you know how to play tennis?" He's like, "No." He's like, "I don't tell you how to play tennis. Shut up." He's talking to Ben Stiller. He goes, "I don't tell Ben Stiller how to act."
It's true, though. It's like, true. I don't, it's
stop.
True.
Like, it's so unnecessary. And it just, I saw that. I was just like, you know, I mean, obviously it's just kind of like that, like, yo mama joke in high school. And, but you don't do that. Like, who are you trying to prove? Like, it's if you came around my hood, you, like, well, you live in a white picket fence neighborhood.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I'm sure the security guard in the neighborhood would save you.
most of these kids that have like the courtside seats that they didn't pay for, they've never had anybody say anything back to them probably in their entire
absolutely
life.
Not.
So they don't even know what it is. They just think that these guys get paid to play basketball and they should just take whatever I say and not react to me. But it's like, if you're going to be an asshole, you deserve to be treated like an asshole. That's how I feel. Like,
you deserve to have your phone smashed in your face.
Like, there's no consequences for being an asshole anymore. And that's the problem. That's the problem is that there's no consequences for being an asshole. So these fucking kids, they think they can say whatever they want, do whatever they want. And guess what? That they're going to go home and it's never their fault, right?
No,
it's never going to be their fault. It's everybody else's fault. So
I guess this is the growing society that we're living in right now. And everyone, there's always another side. There's always another side of things. And even as we were just talking about this off air, you were like, I'd love to hear the player side of things. It's like, you know, how do you feel about, you know, a guy like Russell Westbrook? It's like LA Laker fans are turning into Knicks fans. What are you doing? They're single-handedly ruining the culture of a guy who's played in the NBA for like 15 years and has 23,000 career points. Like, it is okay. So someone's coming to the end. They're not hitting their shots right. They're not happy in their situation. But you're not going to like brandish this guy's name like enough.
And it's also
I think the fans are just getting out of it's. I'm standing in line with the players, and the fans are getting out of control.
But they are, and it's also like, do you actually think that Russell Westbrook wants to show up and go 2 for 18 from the field? Like, no. Like Russell Westbrook, when he first came into the league, was my favorite player to watch. I loved Russell Westbrook when he first came into the league.
Can you say that, Russell Westbrook 10 times?
I can't even say it 2 times fast. But I used to love him, and you know what? Like, that guy was always been a competitor. That guy wants to win. So you want to shit on him because he's at the end of the road and he comes in and he goes whatever it is, like 2 of 12 from the field, whatever. Like, just support your guy, and that's it. And that's it. Just support your guy. Like the team, like the Lakers stink, obviously, right now. This year they've stunk. But just show up, support your team, and shut the fuck up. That's it.
We got 10 games left. Like, stick it out. If you make the play-in and then you lose, great. You're going to have a long, long summer. Something that LeBron and co, they have not had in a very long time. There were times when LeBron was down here in Miami, it was like Olympics, then going to the finals, and then you have 1 month off, and then you go through. I mean, it's like these cycles of these players that have had a lot of pressure on themselves to perform, and they perform late, and then there's so many things. The NBA season is so long. They cut these guys some slack.
Agreed. Well, also, was it true? What? Was it true? I don't know if it's true. I heard this like a couple of years ago that because like LeBron just was always LeBron, like he's getting to the finals every year, Olympics, all that stuff. I think someone said like they did the math. He played like 2 extra seasons.
Oh yeah, it really was. Because I think that was around the same time because they went to the finals 3 years in a row. They won twice in a row. Then they went to the finals the following year, 2014, 13, 14. Mm-hmm. And they lost to the Spurs. And then there was some sort of Olympic. It was really like 3 years in a row that he played consistently.
It's crazy. Yeah. Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, I also heard this. This is actually hot, juicy stuff. So the reason that LeBron is saying that he'll go anywhere and he'll go to any team to play with Bronny in his last year is because a lot of people don't think Bronny's going to make the league.
Really?
Yeah. They said, first of all, Bryce was always my favorite when he was like 6 years old. He was just such a little kid. I will never forget this. LeBron was accepting his MVP trophy and we're like sitting in this proper ceremony and Bryce is on the stage and he's like, Norris, Norris. He's screaming to Norris Cole, the kid with the high top fade.
Yeah.
He was like Norris because all the just loved him because he was just like this short, cool kid. And he was screaming it for like at least a minute. And I just couldn't. I started bursting out laughing. I was like, he's just such a little kid. He doesn't understand that his dad's accepting an MVP trophy from the NBA and the commissioner. Bryce is the one that has his growth spurt. Bryce is the one that you should be watching out for. Apparently, a lot of people that are in the circles of watching that he is not as developed as they think he is and might make the G League, but probably will not get drafted.
So wait.
That is why LeBron is enticing teams to say, I will go and play with my son because they want them to draft him to ensure that he makes the league.
So here's my question. Why doesn't he just go play in college for a couple of years?
Well, he can go to college, but then there's also the G League. But, you know, Zaire Wade, who is LeBron, who is Dwayne's son, he skipped out on college and went to the G League, but he really didn't. I follow along with the Sky Force because they're the G League affiliate of the Heat. He's on the the Salt Lake City team, Zaire is, and he's not really played very much. So he's 19, and it's going to take him a few years to get going. He's not gonna come in and be some phenom. He still needs a lot of work, but he's getting work with future and potential NBA players. So, you know, there's that in the pool of conditioning.
I feel for those kids a little bit though. Like you got you're Dwayne Wade or LeBron James' son. Like those guys are all timers in the NBA.
Top two. I would even say that LeBron is better than the MJ. I don't know how to have this conversation.
I could have this conversation. I'm gonna have this one thing. I heard this argument 2 weeks ago, and this is one of the best things I've ever heard in the LeBron and MJ debate that people don't ever talk about. What? So when MJ was playing in the league, right? Remember there was a thing called illegal defense. So
there's still illegal defense now. If you have 3 seconds.
No. You were only allowed to play man. Okay. MJ only had to beat one guy. MJ only had to beat one guy when he played, basically. LeBron, everybody trashes LeBron because they're like, oh, when the game's on the line, he passes. Yeah, because he beats the first guy and then two other guys come to him. That's illegal defense in MJ's days. Now it's not. So he makes the basketball play to the open guy for the three. So LeBron doesn't get, I love LeBron. I think he doesn't get enough credit for the things that he does as a basketball player, because if he only had to beat one guy every single time, his numbers would be astronomical.
Yeah. Well, that's also goes to show about how you can't really compare different generations. You can't say that, oh, what would Shaq do in this, in Shaq and Kobe versus Embiid and Harden and this whole conversation. And he was like, no fucking way, we would have killed them. Well, yeah, you can't compare different generations of players because you're comparing the evolution of the athlete. You're comparing the evolution of the game. You're comparing, I mean, so many different variables in here that will make things bigger, faster, stronger. And different rules. So, would Bill Russell still be as dominant of a player? I'm sure he would, but he wouldn't. Would he have won 11 rings now? Probably not.
It's like the eras thing gets me so mad.
Yeah.
Because also let's be serious when we're talking about LeBron. Yeah. He's what is he? He's 6'8". He's
6'8". He's 6'8". 260, I believe.
It's 260, right?
Yeah.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Like Charles Barkley's we would beat him up. No, you wouldn't beat him up. LeBron, LeBron is bigger than every guy on the floor. So no, you wouldn't beat him up. Let's be serious.
His hand.
He doesn't get the benefit of the doubt on foul calls because he goes up and people hit him and he just goes through them. So it doesn't look like he got fouled.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course he's complaining about guys hitting them because it doesn't look like they're hitting them. Know what I mean? Sorry. I love LeBron. LeBron's
no, mine. I love the, listen, I, someone, I think there was a comment on the Bad Signal Apple podcast reviews that says that this girl sucks. She's a LeBron apologist.
Oh my God.
And a New England fan. That's all you need to know. One star.
One star. There it is. All right.
Oh God. If you guys love this podcast, by the way, please write us a review.
Write us a review. And then one day we're going to read all the bad reviews.
We should write some mean tweets. I still have some stuff. I still have some funny things that we have to, we had some weird questions. I didn't ask me anything and I was going to answer all the weird questions.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Ask me anything. Let's get to the second half of the slate and then let's dive into a bunch of this NFL bonanza.
Perfect.
And I mean, I got some hot words about a few of them, but
oh boy,
Let's go into this. All right, Purdue and St. Peter's. Do you think this this 12 and a half point line is too high for Purdue? I don't.
Purdue should win by like 25. Like,
yeah,
it's been a nice little story and everything, but
I think they're gonna get slaughtered. I think it's gonna be over. Purdue went to the line, got fouled, went to the free throw line 42 times, and St. Peter's fouls at the 10th highest rate in the country. That's all you need to know.
Their defense is ranked whatever, they're like 26th in defensive efficiency.
Yeah,
but they're not. Purdue's got a week to prepare for them.
They're gonna slaughter.
Let's just move on here.
Yeah. All right, Kansas and Providence. I'm rolling with my guy Ed Cooley. I was there the first year that he came into Providence. I'm with the Friars. I'm gonna dress up in like the PC Friars. The old school costumes.
Wow.
You know, like with the Friar Tuck.
Oh, I know.
Friar Tuck costume. I might put, maybe there's definitely an Instagram filter. I'm taking Providence plus 7.5. I think that line is way too long over Kansas. Cooley has so many good guys on this team. And they've played close games every single year. So I'm taking Providence.
So I think here, I'm going to take Providence with the points as well. I think here, Providence, slightly underrated. Kansas, slightly overrated.
Ooh.
I don't think Kansas is that good. I don't know why I feel like they're not that good of a basketball team. Like they're number one seed and everything, but there were times I watched them play this year and I was like, what's going on with this team?
Like
they turn it on and off when they want to. You don't win a national championship just turning it on and off when you want to.
Well, speaking of that team that's turned it on late, UNC is almost like a team of destiny. A lot of people riding on UNC plus 2 against UCLA. A lot of people thinking the championship formula still rocking with the Bruins. What do you think about this tough matchup here?
I think it's a UNC line, if we're going to be honest.
Yes.
But I do think UNC is going to win, and here's why. I think UNC is going to win. It has nothing to do with stats, points, this, that, the other thing. I'm in a pool it happens on Staten Island. I'll send you the article about it. It's like the pool that shaped March Madness, like in the tri-state area.
You're in like the OG.
It's like a $550,000 pot. Like it's okay. you pick a Final Four, a winner, and then the tiebreaker would be
how bad are you down right now?
So we started with 105 lines.
Did you answer my question?
Not good.
Okay. let's start with that. Steve is in a pool. So, it's an epic pool from Staten Island, but he's down bad. Okay.
So each Final Four and the champ and the total of the title game is a line, right? It's $10 per line. Yep. We went in with a group of 21 guys and we started with 105 lines. We are down to 19.
Okay.
Because once one team loses, you lose the whole line's gone.
Okay. All right.
So we're down to 19 and we don't have any with UNC. So we have plenty with UCLA, which naturally means UNC is going to win this game in a heartbreaking manner and knock us out of this pool in the Sweet 16.
Okay.
That's how it happens every year, honestly.
Okay, but like, you know, it's so unpredictable. I remember I was talking with Sammy P on the last episode about, oh, are you surprised? And he's like, oh, listen, the Pac-12 is going to be the Big 12 is going to be the best team. Well, it's like the ACC was the team that everyone missed out on. We kind of fucked that one up. I don't know.
All year, everyone was talking about, oh, the SEC is so good. Everybody's home. Kentucky's out. Tennessee's out. Auburn's out. Tennessee looked like the best team in the country for like the last 2 months. Gone. Like, who's still here? Is it Arkansas?
Arkansas is the only one.
Yeah,
there's only one left.
That's it. Yeah, we missed that. Miami, 10 seed, comes in here. Just who they beat? They just beat Auburn. They just killed Auburn.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, so Jim Larrañaga, you know, he's Cuban. So that's
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Jim Larrañaga and his crew in the Miami. Listen, I loved fully support. This is a basketball town down here in Miami, Florida. The Miami Heat are supporting the Canes. They are 2.5 point favorites over Iowa State here.
Oh, wow.
Steve, how do you feel about the Canes getting through to the next round? Listen, here's the problem with Iowa State and their advantage. The Canes don't turn the ball over, and Iowa State needs them to turn the ball over to get out into transition. So
I think this is
the year of the ACC ascension. It's going to happen.
So you think you're taking my, you're taking Miami. Miami. You're going to take Miami.
Okay. That's also a personal pick. I mean, like, listen, I got to sit here and think about it. Cause like, these are my tentative picks, but I also could be sitting here like football season. I'm just like, yeah, the Patriots are going to beat the Bills. I know that they're going to beat the Bills. And then I know that they're not going to beat the Bills. So it's Providence and Miami that these are my two close to the heart picks.
Yeah. I think that it's so hard because like, I'm coming from a place where we watched
all the lines in the Staten Island pool, and then you just
and then I decide to bet against it because I know it's going to happen. It's tough because I watched Miami play BC in the ACC tournament, and it was the most frustrating game I've ever watched in terms of everything. Yeah. And Iowa State is a frustrating team. Like, they're a frustrating team to play against, I feel, especially for Miami. But ultimately, I do think Miami's the better team. It's pretty.
I mean, you know, like I had Kentucky too.
Oh, I still have my champ, but they're gonna go down now.
I was like, oh, +700 Kentucky to win it all, and then I was like, well, that wouldn't be a Courtney hates March Madness if it wasn't. I'm going to research so hard. I'm gonna go so hard on my VSiN super power rankings, 180 page pamphlet that they give out. I'm going to study the lines so hard on each of these games, and I'm going to win that $500 on Better Edge in the competition.
So it's only Sweet 16 competition.
So it's a $500 pick'em for Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. And if you come out with the best record, you win a cool $500.
I guess he just,
you got to pick, but it's picks against the spread. So, which makes it even better. It's not just for a flat out money line.
I mean, if we're going spread here, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to take Houston. I'm going to take Tech. I'm going to take Arkansas. I'm going to take Michigan.
Taking Arkansas. You think the Zags are going to lose?
After watching them last week against Memphis, actually both times, here's like, I really do think Arkansas is going to give them problems.
Like, I think Arkansas was a name before the tournament that was very hot that they were looking at.
Arkansas is good. Like, I my problem with Arkansas this year, which they're actually, well, this is one problem with Arkansas. One week they could look like the best team in the country, and the following week you don't know what happened.
Yeah.
That's my one problem. My second problem with them going into the tournament was this was my actual worry with every single SEC team. They all were lights out at home. It was when they played on the road that they stunk.
Yeah.
And then like in the SEC tournament, Arkansas, that first game they played LSU, they beat the brakes off LSU, and then they came out and they were awful against Texas A&M. So like that's the thing. It's like, which, if the good Arkansas shows up, they could beat every single team. They could win the national title if the good Arkansas shows up. Yeah. But if they don't, they could lose to Gonzaga by 30. But I think that they're going to actually beat Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga's going home.
Now for the back half of the Bad Signal podcast, we are breaking down. This was honestly the first on the docket and the first thing that we wanted to talk about. We wound up talking about it last. And that goes to the priorities of how I want to treat this NFL offseason and free agency. And there were years past where I've sat there and I said, I'm not filling out a bracket. I hate March Madness. College basketball does not interest me. This is not interesting at all. I'm just going to refresh and refresh. I am so sick of the updates from Ian Rappaport, from Mike Garofalo, who now they're getting into like fun mode. So every time that Garofalo tweets something and he'll like tweet a reply, it will like show up on my phone and I'll get an alert on my, it's just like out of control. The NFL, it's like they're walking and they're shit-faced on South Beach during spring break. Kind of over it right now. I'm an NFL girl, but I mean, when you start talking about 35 notifications on my phone if I leave my phone alone. And then most of them are Ian Rappaport going, yes, this is official now. Like when the team confirms, he writes like, it's official. I'm so over it. Over it. If you have something to break, that's fine. Tweet it once. I like, it's overload. It's overkill, and it's really bothering me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm actually just over the NFL right now. Like, I don't like, also, it also has,
or just because, like, because your team is not competing with,
well, it's, I don't care. I don't want them to do anything. I want them to stink and get a good QB in the next class. Okay. I want them to be terrible. I don't want them to do anything. You know what I want them to do? I want them to sit tight. If they could somehow get a third for Saquon, trade him, whatever. I mean, I don't care. I don't care what they do. Just tear it all down. Do the right thing. You know what the right thing is? Stink. And go get a franchise QB. That's the right thing. So I don't care about them. I just can't take the updates about every single free agent that may or may not sign. It's confirmed, but it's not confirmed. And then this guy was here, and then it got matched by this team. And then this guy went here. And then, oh, and now this bad quarterback is going here for these picks. And this bad quarterback's going here for these picks. And this bad quarterback, he's not going to start now. And he's upset. I'm sick of all of it. I'm sick of it. It's a bad quarterback carousel with free agent signings. And if I hear one more time about how Russell Wilson is a top three quarterback in the NFL, I'm going to fucking scream, because I can't stand it. Justin Herbert's better. Enough.
Wow. Well, I will tell you this, that the Buffalo Bills got stronger. And we talked about this on our last podcast, that I said the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the NFL. And there are a couple of NFL network reporters, including Mr. Dan Hanses of the Around the NFL podcast, that has now ranked the Buffalo Bills as number one. He has ranked the Chiefs at number three. He must have been listening to something that I was saying, because I am fully not convinced, once again, that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to improve in that AFC West. And that was way before Russell Wilson came into that division with the Broncos. And that was way before that the Chargers made outstanding deals to go pick up J.C. Jackson, pay big money, Nick Bosa, all of these different pieces. Now that the Raiders are actually doing something great, which also kind of makes my heart a little cold, because I'm seeing Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels do big things. So it's like, you know what? First of all, I think the AFC West is, they're going to cancel each other out. They're going to go 1-1 against each other, and all of them are going to be 4-4 against the division, and they're going to be deadlocked in this mediocrity of greatness. It's going to be a big carousel of greatness, and someone else is going to rise up from the ashes, and it's going to be a complete parody of the NFL that the other division that no one had even known is going to have the best record in the league. Secondly, I will say, in terms of this quarterback carousel, I could not agree more. It's like basically overplayed musical chairs. One person said, hey, it's musical chairs. I believe it's Judy Batista. Great reporter. Love that girl. She said, oh, it's a great musical chairs in the NFL. We're not talking musical chairs here, guys. We're talking like auntie and uncle's barbecue in the backyard when the ground is like spring and it's mush and it's complete uneven and they want to like do the landscaping, but they can. And you have these plastic chairs and like some of the chairs are broken and you sit down and you're like, whoa, am I going to fall? Nope. I got my burger and my bun and that's it. All right. This is like the shitty quarterback carousel. And Baker Mayfield is going to be stuck in like the lower tier of the shitty quarterback carousel. Baker Mayfield is screwed. The Browns have no other choice but to cut this guy. And he's going to be forced, after requesting and demanding, saying that he's worth $35 million a year. Who the hell and what team now is available to pick up this kid that is scorned? He's going to take this personally, and it has less to do with the personal issues, I mean, that he's going to carry with him straight from Cleveland, because he has the most tipped balls in all quarterbacks in the NFL. Most tipped balls at the line of scrimmage, because the dude's too short, can't see over his line. Okay.
That's it.
Whatever team that he's going to go to, they're going to look at him and they're going to say, oh, you got an $18 million contract and nothing for next year. So you want us to re-sign you next year to some deal that's going to be worth about, I don't know, $160 million. You want 28? You're not even worth a first round pick. You're the first overall pick. And this guy is going to be left out in the dust. And if he takes the earnest to tell himself, hey, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to take a backup quarterback job for maybe $6-8 million. He's going to have to do it, because that's the only way that he's going to find the field this year. Because the Browns, they have no other choice. They just got to cut his ass.
No, they have to. They have to cut him. They just gave. What would they give? Every dollar that Deshaun Watson got was guaranteed.
$75 million guaranteed. Every dollar. And why do you think that? Why do you think that every single dollar in Deshaun Watson's contract was guaranteed? And how many games do you think that he's going to miss this year? Because here's what I say. He misses zero. He misses zero. The league doesn't do an investigation to suspend him this year. So he does his full go round. And then the commissioner decides, after lots of uncovering and an investigation, despite the 22 women that have alleged against him, and the grand jury is not going to criticize him and not going to go after him. You're not going to get 22 people to agree with each other here. And you're definitely not going to get every owner in the league demanding that the guy gets suspended because he sat out a year already. That's bad for business. It's certainly bad for the Haslams.
It's very bad. It's very bad for you said some good things there that now might change my mind, because I was thinking every dollar of that contract is guaranteed, because his agent knows that something's going to come up somewhere along the way this year.
I think his agent needed to get that.
I don't know why if you're any team, you're taking a chance. Like 22 people have 22 women have come. What is the number need to be at for you to be like, maybe there's something here? What is the, how high does the number have to get if you're an NFL team?
I think it's infinite. I mean, the NFL and many teams have hired murderers and convicted felons and, you know, drug addicts and drug dealers.
That's my thing now. Like, the Aaron Rodgers vaccination thing is the least of anybody's problems.
Oh God, but he is like the biggest of my problems. I just don't want to listen to his ass. I can't.
Well,
Aaron, you're not allowed to say the words Aaron Rodgers.
His best weapon just got sent, just went to the Raiders. So
I know. I got to think about it. I mean, am I going to switch my picks over to the Minnesota Vikings? They're going to get Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius Smith, the outside linebacker, they brought him in for, he was tweeting something. He said something like, meet you at the quarterback. And I have a friend who covers the Vikings. And, you know, of course, our good friends over at 10,000 Takes, who had Kirk Cousins on their podcast, by the way.
Oh, I heard him. I heard some of it.
Yeah, yeah. So Za'Darius Smith tweeted something and said, meet you at the quarterback. So apparently, like, the old purple people eaters, who that's what they used to call the Vikings, that was their, like, their quote. Like, the defensive line said, meet you at the quarterback. So he's already bought into the system. Listen, don't underestimate Kevin O'Connell.
Do you want to go against the Packers?
I gotta think about it. I said this last year when with or without Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, with Dalvin Cook at running back, I was like, damn. Kirk Cousins can make enough mistakes. I think they can pull it out. I don't know. I think they're close. I think they're the closest ones in the division. You don't know what the hell
they are.
What the hell is Justin Fields going to do? Dark horse candidate, of course. The Lions are going to be like competing, but I think the Lions are still going to be like kindergarten players, and Dan Campbell is going to be like throwing shit up on a board and try to figure it out.
You know what? They play for him, though. I will say that. I give Dan Campbell.
But it doesn't make them good.
No, I mean, they still don't have they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Goff's not the guy. And there's nobody in this class that's the guy. I got a hot take. I'm going to leave the North for a second.
Okay.
I got a very hot take. And I'm going to say the Jaguars are going to win the AFC South. +750. Get it now.
I fully believe. Well, first of all, I think Doug Peterson is going to right the ship there. And how bad does it get with all of this Urban Meyer stuff? And I think some of it's a joke, like an actual joke. Like, I think the who's the number 99 guy on the Rams.
There's no way that's real. There's no way that's real.
And I think that that's like full-blown slander that Urban Meyer is not able to sue anyone.
There is,
because most of it was real. So they're like, hey, why don't we throw out like this really super?
They're like, this is going to be hilarious. We're going to say he has no idea who Aaron Donald is, the best defensive player in the league for the last
year. Like Hall of Fame, probably the best defensive player like ever.
Yeah.
I love that we agree with that. I think like all feelings, no facts. That's total bullshit.
Yeah, like there's no way, like you can't be a coach in the NFL.
Someone totally made that up, and they're like, "This is gonna be great. This is gonna be great. Like we're really gonna embarrass Urban Meyer for when he said that even if we got cut from this team, we wouldn't even make $15 fucking hour jobs."
Yeah, they're I think you're right. I think you're right. I agree with you. Where they were probably just like, they're like, "There's enough truth here that we can throw some funny shit in right now, and this is hilarious." Like.
You just sounded like Pete Davidson. This is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, he is from Staten Island.
I know he is from Staten Island.
He's dating Kim Kardashian.
You know who my all feelings, no facts, hot take is? I think the Bucks are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFC this year. I think that even before this, I said this headstrong that the Bucks were in deep, deep doo-doo. They were banking on every inch of their heart that Tom Brady was going to come back and save the day. And they didn't believe that he was going to retire. And they lost two of their all pros. And now Tom Brady is inching closer, overpaid for Chris Godwin. You should have just franchise tagged him and let him go. Okay. Regardless. Yeah. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Look what happens when they brought back all 22 players on that offensive line, on the defensive line. You started to slowly crumble throughout the season. Now Tom Brady, in the like latest autumn of his career, is threatening to bring back Julian Edelman and his lucrative Showtime deal. I mean, this man is just in for clicks and petty bullshit, and I'm tired of it. He sounds like a little drama queen girl. I think that it's going to be a huge mistake that he came back, and we're really going to see what that cliff looks like, Tom. I'm so sorry. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of all of this. Like, what are you planning on doing with how's your home life? I'm sure it's not going too well. If you all of a sudden decide to get up and say, screw these kids, screw my family, I'm going to go play football again.
I feel like
I really think that the biggest karma is going to hit the Bucks, that they're going to be wildly underprepared. Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. Bruce Arians and Tom Brady do not get along. I mean, if you want to talk about Rams butting heads, like these two guys are going to have a full-blown implosion. And it's going to be seen on live television, like a national reality TV show before our eyes, because that organization has the loosest lips in the league. And they are fully, like, just candid about everything. Like, there are certain things that should be kept behind closed doors. And it doesn't seem like the Tampa Bay Bucks want to keep anything private. So anything that you know is going to go wrong is going to go wrong, and they're going to tell you.
So I'm
pissed. I'm just like, I'm like, ugh.
I want all that to happen. Also, like, yeah. I feel like Brady was like sitting at home and he's like, oh, my kids are going through puberty. Not great. I'm going to go play football again. So now I want everything you just said to happen. I do. I truly do. I just want Tom Brady to, first of all, he ruined Selection Sunday, so that's besides
the point. He also ruined the signing of Matt Ryan, the sign and trade. We haven't even gotten to Matt Ryan.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to that yet.
But
I will say this. I can't fully trust that anyone in that division is going to be any good. What do you got? Sam Darnold, you got Marcus Mariota, and you got
Jameis Winston. Well, I said this before. I said that possibly that was probably the juiciest futures pick was the Falcons when Matt Ryan was still around. Now Matt Ryan gets traded to the Colts. Very sad day for Atlanta sports. Actually, I don't feel bad for them. I don't feel bad for Atlanta sports actually at all. Because Georgia just won the national championship and the Braves won the World Series.
And now I got to listen to them.
When Matt Ryan was still there, you know, the funny thing is Kyle Pitts did say that some of the things were about to get real scary in Atlanta.
Yeah. They got scary real quick. Have a quarterback, pal. why are you drafting a tight end? Well, never mind. I'm not going to get started. Just go. Whatever you're going to say. Listen,
Kyle Pitts, I told you, he was like, you know, he was in the conversation for offensive rookie of the year before everything started, and he didn't really have a quarterback to throw to. So it's going to be another one of those. Hey, remember when OJ Howard was the number one tight end and everyone wanted a piece of him? And then he wound up just being the biggest bust of all time. That's an Alabama tight end for you. Now he's with the Bills? He signed with the Bills.
He signed with the Bills. Everybody signed with the Bills.
Not, God, not we didn't even get to yet. Von Miller.
I mean, let's go to Patriots, Matt Ryan.
Patriots doing nothing. Yeah, I think we should just like circle back around this these topics, because it's just, again, it's too much. And if you have something to say, you can tweet at me, Courtney Fallon _ Steve _ Armato, or you can write us an email. badsignalpod@gmail.com. I got a bunch of applications for video editors I gotta go through. Listen, I gotta win the Sweet 16 contest, and then I'm paying big bucks.
There you go.
Big bucks on the line, man.
The Sweet 16 contest. I'm telling you right now, Houston's winning the national title. Let's go.
Use the word code Courtney. Just do it.
Don't use mine. It's probably back to $5. Thanks, Greg. You know.
Guys, I love that you were like,
I got cuckolded so hard. They tweeted at me and said, your referral code is now $20. Not because we're doing it for you, because everybody's referral code is $20.
How about every time someone signs up, I will put another $20 on top of it for Steve to get his money.
Oh, wow. That's big.
Okay. So let's make it 10 for right, every person that signs up with, do you want to do like a competition here? Sign up with the word Courtney.
Yeah, you sign up with Courtney. You can sign up with our motto.
Sign up with our motto, and then Steve gets an extra $10 if you like Steve more.
There you go. And nobody really likes me.
Do you want to shake on that? You want a virtual shake?
Virtual shake.
1, 2, 3.
Boom.
Rocks, paper, scissors.
Done. That's it. Done.
All right. I'll see you later this week. I'm going to kick your ass in the start.
That's it. Oh, listen. I'm probably.
It's on.
I'm probably going to.